Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Let's give your parents a call right now.
Hello, welcome to episode number 11 of Geeking with the Moms. My name is Nicole Tanner. I'm a geeky mom. I've been a geeky mom for 6 years. My daughter is currently downstairs in our rec room watching Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets, which I talk about Harry Potter a little more later because everything in the world is in my life right now is Harry Potter.
I guess.
So I'm joined by fellow mom Regina McMenemy, who is head geek at the Geek Embassy and host of the podcast Game On Girl. Woo. Hey, Regina.
Hi.
And happy hot days. Happy hot days. And we have our resident dad, Stephen Dutzman, who is editor and founder of EngagedFamilyGaming.com and the father of 3 kids. Hey, Stephen.
For now.
Does that mean there's going to be a fourth, or are you going to go down to 2?
Oh no, that party is shut down. I am more than concerned that my sons, who have learned the art of fisticuffs in their preteen years, may bring about an end to one another just because they're being just real dumb.
Did they get that at camp? They were just at camp, right?
Yes. No, I'd like to think that they didn't. I think they had it in them and they spent time apart and not having to put up with each other and not trolling each other. And so they had reached, I think, a sense of inner peace. And now that inner peace has been shattered, and it's like unending the balance in the world of Avatar: The Last Airbender, right? Like once there's no balance, then just everything is just out and out war.
Yeah.
So, and my son with his top knot absolutely is the Fire Kingdom, the Fire Nation. Jake is one of those crazy people that wanted to sing and go into the tunnel. And it's just an endless conflict. That was an Avatar The Last Airbender joke. If you get that, at me, because you get nerd points. they're just real obnoxious. And we also, it is not, my wife has 100% attributed it to, we have decided to give them access to Fortnite. Oh. And while I would like to believe that it is not true, I don't think it's the actual Fortnite itself that is the problem. I think that it is they have found a game that they like to play that has no pause button. Mm-hmm. And they both like to play multiplayer with different sets of friends, and we share one account.
Mm.
And so we have that problem. And so we're going to have to deal with that. And it may include deleting it. They've now played enough so that they can talk to their friends about it when they get back to school.
Cool or not cool or whatever.
It's cool. Yeah. It's cool. It's cool. It's fine.
Life.
I have no problem taking it away, but it's like so dumb, you know? Like, why do kids got to be stupid?
Because they're kids. Yeah.
Kind
of thing. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my parenting is Harry Potter all the time now. It's really kind of kicked up a notch over the past few weeks. And I guess that's our fault because we bought the entire set of movies in 4K because they left HBO. You could stream them all on HBO Now, and then it was like, poof, July 1st, gone. So we're like, man, she's going to want to watch these, so we might as well just spring for it. It was $150 for all 8 movies in 4K, so it wasn't bad.
That's not bad.
The first 3 of them still look the same. You can't tell that they're in 4K.
Well, yeah. But they had like pretty kind of questionable, even at the time, their graphics are questionable. Right.
Yes, so. Yeah. Four on though look really good. Yeah, I know those graphics in one, man.
Yeah.
Those do not hold up at all.
No. They're, I mean, at the time I remember watching because it came out right before Lord of the Rings came out, and I remember thinking, God, I hope Lord of the Rings does better than this, because it's pretty sad.
Yeah, it's cool though. It's neat to be able to share that with her, because I was like totally like over Harry Potter, like I'm done. It's, you know, it was cool for a while, but now I'm back.
All you have to do is start playing the card game and you'll be back into it again.
Yeah, I mean, when we're reading the books, we're about halfway through five. We've read all four. I mean, I read them to her. She really enjoys that. We've watched all four movies. She's not allowed to watch a movie until she's finished the book. And it's funny because when we got the movies, like last week, I went through and watched all of them as sort of a refresher of what was in the last ones, just to be prepared. Not that we're going to get there. We probably aren't going to finish book seven until the end of next year at the earliest. Mm-hmm. But I watched them all, you know, just to see what might be some sensitive things for her. Right. And I totally forgot that Hedwig died, and that one's going to hit Anna hard because he really cares about the animals sometimes more so than the people. And then I remembered, but knew it was going to be sensitive, was that Dobby died. So here's the funny thing, though. I told her that I was watching them.
Spoilers.
But no. Talk about spoilers. Hold on here. I had told her that I was watching them to see if they had any scary or sad parts that I wanted to know about before I watched them. She's like, yeah, somebody already told me that Dobby dies at the end. I was like, what?
Wow.
I know. I'm like, total spoiler. She's like, yeah, I got spoiled. I'm like, yes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's, you know, it's hard when it's been out that I had that happen. Yeah. I actually spoiled some poor kid at a presentation we were doing at, you know, we do the fairy tales and superheroes. Mm-hmm. And someone asked me in the audience to talk about, like, these parents of this, like, she's probably 10 or so, asked me to talk about Harry Potter. And so I was talking about Harry Potter and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, you know, and there's the whole self-sacrifice at the end where, you know, Harry's willing to do this, which is very much a theme that we see in fairy tales. And they're just like... And they're like, I'm shaking. Sorry, this audio. Yes. Shaking their head and flailing their hands at me. And I was like, and then they finally said she hasn't finished the series. And I was like, why?
Oops. Yeah.
Well, they asked.
I know, right? They asked. Exactly.
I wasn't even talking about it. Like, they brought it up and didn't say, we're on book, you know, because if they brought it up and said, we're on book such and such, then I would have stayed. But they just brought up Harry Potter. And
Oh
my.
Yeah. One thing that is interesting about the movie, since I have like watched them all in succession now, is that the first three are rated PG. Four is PG-13. Five, I think, is PG-13. And then six, one of them hops back to just PG, which I thought was really kind of weird. Yeah. And then the others are PG-13. So anyhow. So yeah, Harry Potter... all the time here in my house.
Before we move topics.
Yes.
I've noticed a trend in your media consumption.
Okay.
Over time. because Regina, keep track with me, if you may. She's watched Game of Thrones front to back. At this point, gotta be about 10 times.
Not quite, but... I
was going to say six, probably. It's six,
and I'm starting seven.
Yeah.
I have an
big
excuse
difference
now.
Six.
Right. That's an excuse. Yes.
Six. I'm not saying you don't have an excuse. I'm not saying that this is inappropriate. I'm not saying this is unhealthy behavior. I'm saying it's a pattern.
Right. Okay.
Don't read judgment into what I'm saying. That would be rude of me. But okay. So you've watched Game of Thrones all, what, seven seasons of it?
Yes.
About 37 times. And I know that there are a number of other television programs that you've watched. Like, you don't mess around. Like, does the one episode at a time thing just bug you? Can you not do that anymore? So now you just, it's just all or nothing?
Well, I do that with
binge watch the shit out of everything.
I do. But I mean, Game of Thrones is a special circumstance because I watch it over and over. As it is being aired, I watch it one episode at a time as they come out, like I did with Westworld.
Right.
But Westworld season one, I binged with my husband. It's more my husband than me. Isaac's like, I don't want to have to like wait to see what happens for a week. I just want to wait until it's over and then watch the whole thing. So that's why we do that. I mean, that's what I did with, well, Isaac had been watching it every week, but that's what I did with Star Trek Discovery this last time. So yes, I do a lot of binge watching because I don't watch a lot of regular television. You know, we don't have like television. So it's HBO, it's Netflix, it's Amazon. So,
I just noticed a pattern. You don't just watch, you voraciously consume. Like, yeah, in the last week or so, I've totally just watched literally every Harry Potter movie twice. No, I'm just saying.
Okay, I have to admit that I am guilty of this as well. My latest addiction now is the Bon Appetit YouTube channel.
I haven't seen that, but it sounds fabulous.
Oh my gosh. They have this one host, Brad Leone, and he is like the way they edit. He does a series called It's Alive. And so he went to a brewery and learned how to make beer. And a lot of it's about fermentation. He made cultured butter and all this kind of stuff. And he came out here to the Portland area. The funniest episode, I actually put it up on Facebook. It's Savi Island, right? Is a little island off Portland, and he couldn't remember it. The end of it is the outtakes of him trying to remember how to say Savi because it's spelled like Suave.
Right.
And so he's like going through all these, it's just so hilarious. And I don't generally laugh out loud when I watch things by myself. Like I might chuckle, but like Chris kept looking at me because he's like, what are you watching? Because I laugh so much.
Yeah.
But I literally watch like all 30 episodes in like 2 days.
Yeah.
Because I just got on a hook and it's like, you know, I get that. I think voracious consumption is a good way to say it. I think, at least for me, I go through cycles. Like it's summer right now, I'm doing all of my teaching online. So a lot of times I have a YouTube video on while I'm grading.
Yeah.
I have a lot of grading to do in a short amount of time and it keeps me focused, oddly enough. And except I had to stop a couple times because the Brad videos were so funny. I couldn't keep reading, but
Prisoner of Azkaban is Anna's favorite movie. We have watched that, I don't know how many times.
That's my favorite movie too.
But we can quote scenes. How sad is that? We can recite certain scenes and we'll do it to each other like times when we're not watching the movie just because she thinks it's so funny. So that's your favorite movie too. That's interesting. Yeah.
That's my favorite book as well. It's my favorite movie too.
Four is my favorite book.
Four is my friend Julie's favorite.
Yeah, because it's just different. It sort of breaks from the mold.
Yep, it does, for sure.
But the later movies, you know, I like now too, having just rewatched them. But it's funny because I didn't remember anything about 5 through 7's part 1 and 2, the movies or the books. I couldn't remember, you know, I know the ending of what happens, but I couldn't remember any of the details on the way. So that helped me to watch them so I can predict things that are coming in the books as we read them.
Right.
So,
yeah.
But it's been funny. So I watched some sort of outtakes behind the scenes stuff for Harry Potter as well. And some of the ones from the first one are really, really funny because like they've got this scene of the three, Harry, Hermione and Ron. They're like sitting over a book, like talking or whatever. And the actress who played Hermione was like mouthing the,
I've seen that.
That other line. She knew
all their lines too. Yeah,
exactly. And they're like, okay, you gotta stop that. Like,
right.
You know, it was
so
funny. Yeah. Games. Fortnite. Speaking of Fortnite, I think we're always going to be talking about Fortnite for a while. Mm-hmm. So they have just released a pretty big update. that nurse the building, the starting health of all building materials, and it increases the time to build things. They have added a new SMG for you to play around with and have fun. The playground mode, which you talked about the last time we recorded, is back as well with some extra features there. So yeah, running. This is kind of funny to me because it's the opposite of most games in that your default now is running and you have to press a button to walk, which I find kind of amusing because it's typically the other way around.
You know what though, as someone who spent, because we have Fortnite fever in our house.
Right.
Me and the boys have been playing, and it makes absolute sense that you run before you walk. And a lot of it is because the default state, like you're always running. And part of that's because generally you start far away on like the far corners of the map, and you do need to run to the center of it to try and stay away from the storm. It makes total sense that you would have to hit a button to slow down. I think that actually is a quality of life improvement. I find myself on auto run a lot just so I don't have to think about it.
Yeah.
Cause there's so much other stuff going on. Cause you can auto run while you build and not have to worry about that joystick. So it's actually, I think that's quietly a bigger deal, but I think it's something that, you know, it looks silly on a patch note because I think that's a quality of life improvement that like of all the things put in this patch, I think it's going to be the biggest deal like moving forward. It's neat.
Yeah, that's cool. They've been patching this game very frequently.
Well, they have millions upon millions of players who demand free content. So
right. Yes. I mean, but even like in regards to other, you know, like MMO-ish type games, it seems to me like it's more frequent than most games.
Well, it's worth noting it's technically not out yet.
What? Really?
So, it's in beta. It's in early access / beta, whatever you want to call it. I had that debate with my kids while we were bringing him home from Boy Scout camp.
Yeah.
I was explaining to them that it's technically not, I made a half-handed comment about like, yeah, it's basically, it's not actually officially out yet. And Jake was like, what are you talking about? Like we can buy it. Like we can get it and we can spend money on it. And I was like, oh no, 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 no. 2018. That doesn't mean anything anymore. You're buying into a beta. So it makes sense to a degree. I mean, I think eventually the updates will slow down, but at the same time, Epic is making $300 million a month.
Yeah.
And they kind of have to add new content every day to keep their paying customer because they have a lot of whales that are voracious.
Right. Yes. I can imagine.
I mean, and some of the, like, you want them V-Bucks and like there are people who buy everything in the store because there's new stuff every day. There's people that buy everything in the store every day or a couple things a week. And like the premier skins are like 800 V-Bucks and a V-Buck is like a penny.
Huh. Okay.
So like smoking a pack a day of Fortnite. Although I really did almost pull the trigger because the other day we bought the battle pass. I haven't spent any money on V-Bucks. They had Luchador costumes with the mask and I really wanted it, but my kids won't let me.
Wow, that's funny. So speaking of updates, No Man's Sky just got its biggest update ever. No Man's Sky, do you remember that game?
I bought it on Saturday.
Oh, you just bought it. Okay.
I bought it on Saturday in preparation for No Man's Sky Next. I bought it at GameStop with a $15 off coupon, and it cost me $3.
Wow. Nice. Look at that. I bought it at launch and haven't really played it much at all.
Did it make you sick?
No, not really. I mean, it was a slow enough sort of movement that it didn't make me sick. It wasn't like lots of turning my head real quickly in all directions. It was just boring. That was the only issue with it.
They've added a lot of stuff. I played it for an hour on Saturday and then said, okay, I get what it's like now. So I'm going to actually restart with the new stuff.
Yeah.
And play it. Because the 1 hour, I was like, okay, I can get why this loop is kind of cool.
Yeah.
I feel like I might kind of enjoy it. But I wanted to wait until – I kind of want to play it in third person, which is part of the new thing. I think I might enjoy it more.
I'll make it better. That's for sure.
I mean, it's – you know, this is one of those things, especially if you have a PS4 – it's cheap as all get out now. There's plenty of used copies because lots of people bought it and traded it in. This all the updates have been free. This is the game that they wanted to release. Like, clearly, now that I look at the patch notes and like the progression across like these this is the fourth huge content update.
Mm-hmm.
This is the game that they put on the whiteboard when they started the design process. And this is the game that got whittled away by the fact that they were working slower than they expected. They overscoped their project. They bloated it. And Sony came in and was like, listen, you got to release a product or we got to cut you loose. And so they finished the minimum viable product. And now here we are. And we have like an actual video game from what it looks like. And people are still really salty. And it's so weird.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't jumped back into it. I might now since I finished Detroit and just take a look at it. Like, there's a screenshot. What am I looking at? Polygon. There's a screenshot on Polygon that already makes it look vastly better because the world just seems so much more populated. Like, that was one of the problems at the start when I was playing it. So there's like nothing on half of these planets. There's like a plant here and a plant there. And it was just walking around on just flat land that happened to be a different color. And it was just boring. That's all get out. But yeah, so maybe I'll jump in and give it a try. But another No Man's Sky news, Sean, what's his name? Murray. Sean Murray, who was head of Hello Games, was the developer of No Man's Sky, come out and said that they made mistakes. Duh. I don't think you need to say that.
Well, they never said it before this.
I guess. But I guess I'm having been privy to how game development works. Never blamed them in the first place because they obviously really were not in charge of their hype machine. That was really Sony pushing things a little more, I think. So, yeah, it was just
I got into an argument about this topic. There's a buddy of mine that does a board game show, literally a live board game show on Mondays. It's a Magic Mug Monday. He drinks coffee and he does a live show. He runs Yanaguana Games and he does this live show. And he happened to mention No Man's Sky and like development bloat and stuff like that, you know, and not normally what he talks about, but he used to work in the video game press too. So he just brought it up. And this dude, who I have never seen comment on any of his stuff, went off. On No Man's Sky and how they lied and how Sean Murray's a liar and how they're deceptive and how blah, blah, blah. And I roll and you know, the whole thing was, you know, they probably shouldn't be getting death threats.
Right.
They probably shouldn't be. Not. And I would argue that they definitely should not. And he's like, well, that goes without saying that they shouldn't get them. I'm like, actually, it doesn't go without saying because they're getting them. Right, so we gotta. And I'm like, the amount of vitriol being levied at a 15-man development team who was being tasked with making and what was supposed to be an indie game.
Right, yes.
And was marketed like Uncharted. Like Uncharted doesn't show up on the E3 stage 3 years in a row. It doesn't.
Right.
It just doesn't. Uncharted doesn't. It gets one big, you know, like it does its thing. Yeah. Freaking Halo 5 was on one E3 press stage. Page, you know what I mean? Outside of like the little teaser thing. That's freak Halo. And this is No Man's Sky. It was on PSX twice. It was on E3. Like, this is insanity.
Yeah.
And there are a 15-man team making, and all they had made before was a freaking motorcycle game. And they're like, they figured out how to do some wacky junk with an algorithm.
Yeah.
And like, all of a sudden, like, they, and I'm like, the hype train on this gets so out of control. I mean, I remember when this game was in development, those 3 years, I was listening to Podcast Beyond and listening to Colin Moriarty, admittedly a problematic person, but his points there were like, I don't know where people are getting this hype. It sounds like it's going to be cool. but like they're 15 dudes. And at the time they started development, there were only six of them. They're not going to be, there are hundreds of people that work at Naughty Dog.
Yes.
Like, and they were, and people were like selling their children to get to make the hype for this game build. And it's like, come on. It's just so crazy. And here we are. It's finally released. Like now it's out of early access, I guess.
Right.
Meanwhile, half of those people are probably playing Fortnite.
Yeah.
And have no problem with the fact that they got a game 3 years before it's finally done, because who knows if Epic's ever going to say, oh, Fortnite's 1.0. Like, why?
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I very well might go back into this. Like I said, I finished Detroit. I'm just going to talk about that for a minute here.
Yeah, I want to know what you thought.
I really liked the story that I got. The ending that I got, because obviously there are very different things. And one thing that I learned, which actually kind of pissed me off, is that a mistake, at least a mistake that I viewed as a mistake that I made very early on in the game, and only because it wasn't clear to me that I could do a certain thing, I lost an entire story arc, of one of the characters, one of the point of view Android people. I lost the whole thing because of a mistake I made, because I didn't realize I was able to break out of my my loop, my whatever you want to call it, my directions from my person. I did not know that. And so I lost out an entire story arc. I didn't even realize that was the case until I finished it. And they're showing like little clips of different things during the credits, because I always watch the credits. Always, game developers deserve to have their names be seen, even if it's very quickly. And I saw all these like movies from like this, from this one character with like all this stuff. And I was like, what the, are you kidding me? Like, I missed the whole thing because I made a mistake at the beginning. I was like, and it's one of those games, like typically I'll just, I just roll with it, which is what I did. I didn't go back and try to fix that, even though I realized that I did something wrong. I didn't go back and try to fix it because typically I roll with those. If I had known that that was going to be the case, I totally, you know, would have gone back and changed it. But like I said, I'm a little pissed at sort of the developers because they don't really explain to you that you're able to do a certain thing. So like it's the robot car. This is really early on in the game, so it's not really a spoiler alert. But she is the android assigned to like the violent dad with the little girl, like the drunk dad. And so the drunk dad is like, you know, beating on the little girl upstairs. He's telling you to just stand still downstairs. And I was like, okay, I gotta stand still and listen to this stuff, I guess. And I'm hearing more and more, like escalating everything. And then I was turning around. I was walking here. I was walking there. And it just said, no, you got to stay still. And then finally I hit like a specific place in the screen where I could just button mash X to just push out of my like computer program type thing. But it was too late. At that point, the little girl died. And that's why I lost out on an entire story arc. Because I'm not going to go back. I would just go back and play those specific chapters, but you can't just do that. Like if you go back to replay that chapter, then you have to replay all of them because it switches. The point of view switches with each chapter. So even if I go back to correct that chapter, it has some type of effect on the other characters. So I'd have to play the whole thing again. And it was not a short game. But other than that complaint, it was really good. I thought it was really, really well written. I liked the story. I liked the way the story ended. I still recommend it. Just if you're playing as Kara, just know that you don't have to just listen to Todd and stay where you are. You can do other things.
Noted.
Right. So it was pretty good. Like that one part of it annoys me because I feel like it was something that you know sort of falls on the shoulders of the developers because it could have been a little more clear that you had the option to do something. So but anyhow. So let's see what else we got going on here. Oh, so this is something that's been throwing going around the internet. It was actually, some of this happened in a reply to my Twitter right after E3, when I said that Anthem looked disappointing to me because it doesn't look like you're going to be able to make an NPC team to go out with you. And one of the people that responded was like, oh, EA probably made them do this. And I was like, somebody else kind of responded to them and was like, no, dude, this is not how game development works. So I didn't have to do that. But yeah, so apparently this has been a pretty big thing. But what's his name from BioWare came out, did an interview and said, no, dude, that's James Olin. That's his name. We weren't forced to do anything. We just want to try something new. And he made the point that Neverwinter Nights was kind of a different thing. And Star Wars The Old Republic was quite a different thing. So yeah, they say that they're still going to make games that are like their traditional stuff. But I don't know if that will really happen. I'm skeptical at this point, especially since Andromeda was such a... not failure, but like non-starter. So
I mean, yeah. Hold on. Let's talk. The Mass Effect name has so much cachet in the gaming universe.
Yeah.
There is zero chance that they don't make another Mass Effect game.
Okay. Not anywhere in the near future, though. They're not.
The near future is kind of chopped up by the fact that they're already working on another Dragon Age, and they've confirmed that, and they're making Anthem. So, like, there's only so many dudes and ladies that can make video games that work for BioWare. But as soon as Anthem is done, you know, you put a smaller team on development for the fact that it's a game as a service, you expand a little bit, maybe you finish Dragon Age. Listen, I mean, Mass Effect, there is someone at BioWare who has they have had a meeting about Mass Effect already. They absolutely have to have. It was a lunch. I'm sure it was a casual lunch meeting, you know, sandwiching. Right. Like, but there was somebody at a whiteboard talking about, like, okay, what will we do next? I'm not saying it's in pre-production, but like there's some, you know, somebody's doing it. And the reason for that is Mass Effect is too big of a deal. You go to PAX, right?
Yeah.
The nonstop N7 sweatshirts. Like those N7 hoodies, like, are huge. And November 7th is like a holiday for nerds. Like, it is, if She-Ra can come back and have her own Netflix series. Like, I mean this, legit. Like, if She-Ra can come back, Mass Effect is going to come back. It's you're right. They need to kind of cleanse the palate. They need people to kind of forget that the embarrassing parts of Andromeda. Also, I think Andromeda wasn't the big issue. Whatever. Everybody craps out a game that's not great. They need to get past the fact that they caved to people about the ending of Mass Effect 3.
Yes.
That's the real problem. Because they taught their fans, you taught them that whining gets you what you want. So now, and so they need to fix that. And I think the starting of that is them talking back to them about Anthem and all that stuff. Like, they taught video game fans everywhere that if you start petitions and whine and bitch and moan, you can get what you want, because they changed the ending to the biggest video game trilogy arguably ever.
Mm-hmm.
Because some people didn't like it. And the reality is, I haven't liked the ending of video games for a long time, but I never thought that I could change art, and they did it. So that's their flaw. I don't think Andromeda was the problem. Andromeda, whatever. They shipped it too early. You know, like,
that wasn't even the problem with that I had with Andromeda. The thing, it's like a miss, like with No Man's Sky, it's a misperception of what you're getting, because they had pitched Andromeda as sort of this really, like, you're the alien, you know, and you're going to go to all these worlds and meet all these different species, and you're sort of like just inching along exploring. But at the end of the day, you still run into this alien race who are bad guys who want to enslave everybody. And the story was not really any different from anything else. It was just boring, same old stuff. and the characters were not interesting enough, and it wasn't written well enough for me to stick with it. That was my problem with Andromeda.
Some of those things could have been fixed with more time.
Yes, absolutely.
Because writing can get better as you have more time for revisions and things like that. But I mean, they're going to make another one. Don't worry. You're going to be okay.
Yeah, no, I'm sure they will. But you're right about the ending to Mass Effect 3. I was so mad when they did that. I was like, even as just like a bystander player, I'm like, no, because like as a writer, you know, I was trying to like, some people were like, oh yeah, well, you know, people have a right because like movie screeners, like they'll have like an audience of like, you know, 70 people or whatever who come watch this movie, and that can affect the ending based on what those people think, and that it shouldn't be any different for video games and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I am not going to write to Stephen King and tell him to change the ending of one of his novels. Like, this is ridiculous. Video games are the same.
This made me mad.
Just, man. You know what Stephen King would say to people, too? Well, I mean, I don't
He would cuss at them very much. He would absolutely cuss at them. What's crazy about this is, so they have pre-screeners. You know what? Many of those pre-screeners are tastemakers.
Yeah.
Like, it'd be one thing if BioWare rolled in. And because they have pre-reviewers, people who quit who quit working in games journalism go work for publishers and pre-review their games.
Right,
that's a thing. Like, it'd be one thing if they rolled up and were like, "All right, we're gonna go find a bunch of people like Nicole and you know, like, and a bunch of people that used to work in games journalism, used to be games critics, and got you all together, had you all play it, and then let you guys like that's different because you have." Like maybe some YouTubers, whatever, and like have you guys do it. That's different because you're tastemakers. You have an actual critical eye. The reality is the vast majority of the people who didn't like it didn't get it.
Right.
Because the ending of Mass, and I didn't even play it, but I watched the ending. I was like, okay.
Well,
I
there are three endings.
Yeah. But the end, but what I mean is like, right. Like I watched one of them. Mm-hmm. I picked one, but like the idea is like the vast majority of the people who were mad didn't get what the message was that was being delivered.
Right.
And so as a result, they were angry. And it's like, you can disagree with it. You cannot like it, but but the fact that you don't get it doesn't mean you should go on change.org and say that it's bad.
Make a petition.
Change.org, man. That site, it has the potential to do such wonderful things, and yet at the same time, it's just so much ridiculous.
It does do wonderful things, but people are stupid and misuse it. I mean, and if you're one of those people who have unironically attempted to misuse it, go ahead and at me. We'll fight about it. It's fine. like, it's just, come on. Yeah. Let's just...
BioWare
shouldn't have caved.
That's right.
Let's think about back to like the biggest mistakes in video game history. And I mean this, like the biggest mistakes up to and including like stealth launching the Sega Saturn at E3, like the Wii U in general, like BioWare caving to fans. I think that's gotta be top five.
Yeah. Well, it definitely is because like you said, it makes everybody think that they have the right to do everything. So you see this now for every big game. Mm-hmm. People whining and complaining that this was not right and it should be this way. And I mean, I don't know of any big developers caving to that.
They did it to Final Fantasy.
Oh.
Final Fantasy 15 had a whole chapter changed.
Oh, wow.
Because of a fan outcry. And they're like, oh, you're right. It's not that great. Well, I mean, so they patched it, but they didn't just patch like the story and the mechanic, like the mechanics or like tweak some encounter rates or whatever. They tweaked the story part also to explain more stuff.
Yeah.
So, like you had to go back and replay that chapter.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, okay. So if BioWare caves and it teaches people that, and now Final Fantasy, like Final Fantasy had to change.
Yeah.
Oi.
We're all doomed.
Doomed. Anyway.
Books and comics.
I just finished the Maze Runner trilogy. It was pretty good. The first book was way better than 2 and 3. But, you know, you're in the story and you want to finish it. It was sort of the same reaction I had to The Hunger Games when the first book was amazing and the second and third ones wasn't. So it's okay. I mean, I would still recommend it, especially if you're into sort of this dystopian, teenage dystopian stuff. but I just started a couple days ago, speaking of Stephen King, his latest book called The Outsider, which at this point seems like a straight up mystery whodunit story, but it's Stephen King, so something's gonna
happen. Who knows? You gotta have something supernatural going on.
But man, I cannot put that thing down. I was reading it last night, and like when I finally stopped, like I made myself stop. I'm like, okay, I want to keep reading, but I'm going to stop. And then I looked at my phone, and it was like 2:30 in the morning, and I was like, oh man, I did not mean to stay up this book. Not even close. Like, you know, my goal was like to get to bed at 11:30, and I was up till 2:30. But so obviously, well, I don't know how it's going to end, but man, it's a page turner. So there's that. And I'm getting ready to read this book called Uprooted for my book club, which is coming up. It was my selection. It's an amazing fantasy novel written by, I can't remember her name, Naomi something. You can look it up. It won a Hugo Award. It's really, really cool. One of the things that is cool about it, besides it being an awesome story and everything, is that it's a standalone book. You're not committing to a trilogy.
To a trilogy.
Or more books. Like, you know, it's not like The Expanse where they're going on forever. No, it's just one book, which is nice to not have to commit to many, many books if you want to see the entire story.
Naomi Novak?
Yes, Naomi Novak, Uprooted. It's a really, really good game. All right. I just call it a game. It's a book. It's a book. It might be a game someday, although it's probably likely be a TV show or a movie first.
Movies and TV.
San Diego Comic-Con was last week, and I was so disappointed that we didn't get a Game of Thrones teaser.
I was stunned. I thought that what you said was locked in.
Well, after we talked about that, I looked up, and they didn't do a panel this year either. I mean, I can sort of understand them not doing a panel regardless, but they didn't do a panel. It's like the first year ever that they haven't done a panel. So when I saw that, I was like, oh, maybe they won't. But still, I was very disappointed. Anyhow, although, you know, waiting for them to do it, we get them above the noise. I mean, not necessarily that they need to be worried about that, but at the same time, they can just own everything when they finally do this teaser. But there were lots of things that were announced, lots of trailers. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at The Verge. The Verge has compiled all of the trailers for all of the big things, of which there are a lot. Some of the big ones, I'm just going to run down them real quick. Aquaman. There's this weird new show called Disenchantment from the creators of The Simpsons. Doctor Who season 11, which Doctor Who will be played by a woman for the very first time. Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald looks super awesome.
Yeah.
Glass.
Wait for that.
A sequel to Unbreakable and Split. There's a new Godzilla movie coming out because there has to be one of those every 5 years or so. season 2 of Star Trek Discovery.
I cannot wait.
One of the other things that's very exciting for me is this Night Flyers, because that's George R.R. Martin's story. So he wrote more than just Game of Thrones. He wrote this sci-fi stuff before he wrote Game of Thrones. So this Night Flyers thing is based on his work. And then the Orville, which is like Star Trek with, you know, purposeful sense of humor in it, is returning for season 2. Shazam. Actually looks pretty funny.
It looks pretty funny too, yeah.
Yeah. And then we've got Walking Dead and some of your other stuff. So there's going to be a Teen Titans movie, which my daughter is very excited about. We saw a trailer for that, I think, before something we watched, and she was like, oh, It's Teen Titans. So, but anyhow, yeah, so lots of stuff. So I am most excited about Fantastic Beasts. I was talking to Isaac about it, and he's like, I don't know, that one looks pretty dark. You think Anna should see it? He's like, it's got to be rated PG-13, right? And I'm like, yeah, but the first one was PG-13 too. And it wasn't super dark, but it definitely had a dark aspect to it.
Yeah, for sure.
So, so I don't know. We'll see. It might be one of those things where I go watch it first before deciding to take her to it. But when we saw, there was a shorter trailer that ran before Avengers Infinity War, I think. And it started with the view of Hogwarts in the distance. And Anna was like, ah, that's Hogwarts. And I was like, yep, it is. So that's coming out in November. I mean, I don't know. What about you guys? What are you most looking forward to?
You go first.
I go first. Disco. I can't wait to see season 2 of Star Trek Discovery. I thought that trailer looked insanely good.
Yeah.
And there's the character crossing over from the original series.
Oh, right. Yes.
So I won't try to spoil it if you haven't seen the trailer. Yeah. I mean, they hinted at the end of the season, but
I wasn't super impressed by that trailer because we've talked about this. Like, one of the reasons why I liked Discovery and not sort of the other Star Treks is because it had a very sort of central character and it was really about her story.
Right.
And based on these trailers, that it looks like it's going back to the regular kind of Star Trek format. Maybe we'll see.
I don't. I didn't get that sense.
Okay.
I didn't think that as I was watching it. Because there was still just too much that was focused on her.
Yeah.
But there was still the humor, like they have some really kind of delightful and corny humor in it. And,
yes.
You know, math is cool or whatever it was that they said.
Yes. Yeah.
was just delightful. So, I like that. I'm interested in Pike and how they're going to bring him in. I was paying attention to lots of the little details like the costumes and the different ways that they had the Enterprise represented versus Discovery and their costuming. Because, you know, they're playing characters that have existed before. Yeah. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited for Fantastic Beasts. I think that'll be fun. I haven't watched the Orville. Everybody talks about how good it is and how it's really more Star Trek than Disco was, but
yeah, no, I haven't watched it either. The trailer just showed me like Star Trek with a little more
funny
humor, yeah, thrown into it.
I watched Shazam, and I thought that looked delightful too.
Yeah,
really fun. So.
Yeah. At first, I was like, "Oh, this is going to be kind of dumb," but it is kind of dumb, but pretty funny at the same time.
You know, sometimes I think in this particular day and age, it's really important for us to have dumb media to just kind of like have stupid funny.
Yeah.
I think I need that. I think I need more of that in my life.
Yeah. There was lots in that trailer that I like, but when he's like, you must say my name to get the power, it's like, what's your name? Shazam. He's like, no, really? No, really, what's your name?
And, right.
You know, yeah. Yeah, so that one looks funny.
That was my, of all the things that were announced, that was really my, I'm more hype about that than just about anything. That and one other thing, and we'll talk about that in a brief moment, but DC movies have been way too grimdark.
Yes.
And the fact that DC is finally releasing a movie that is part of the DC cinematic universe, whatever, that is not super grimdark, is awesome. Zach Levi is awesome.
Yeah.
I loved him in Chuck.
Yep.
I love all the stuff he does with, what is this thing? Is it, the nerd herd, right?
The Nerd Herd, yes.
No, the Nerd Herd is the Geek Squad from Chuck.
You're right.
Geek something.
No, it's Nerd.
Central. Let's look. We don't have to figure it out. We can.
But I like to work my brain.
That's the nerd machine.
The nerd machine.
Yeah, but time is valuable. That's why we don't need to try remember that's things true. On the internet when we have the internet. Especially nerd things. Like, we're not talking about, like, the works of Copernicus. We're figuring out the nerd machine. So, the, like, he is... You know, whenever I think of, you know, the, and I guess spoilers for Shazam, but Shazam is a 10-year-old or like a teenager, like young kid who is, can say Shazam and he turns into Superman more or less, which is, you know, basically like putting on the Iron Man suit, only it is your body. And so when you think of, like, big is what comes to mind, right?
The Tom
Hanks movie as like a kid who is stuck in an adult's body. And that was obviously like the big one. And like, it's the perfect depiction of a kid trapped in an adult's body. I mean, that movie was amazing, but I think this is not going to come close to that, but this is a kid trapped in a superhero's body. And like, who knows what superheroes are? You know, like, what's your powers? Like, that is a cool origin story, because it's kind of self-aware. Like, they live in a world where Superman and Batman are real things.
Right.
Yeah. So it's like, what are your powers? You know, just that very scene. I'm just excited about it. I'm hoping that it will spill into the rest of the DC cinematic universe. Because maybe if they understood that they didn't have to be super serious and recognize that they are people that fly around in tights, with the exception of Wonder Woman, she can be serious, but whatever, dudes, they put her next movie in the 80s and hired Kristen Wiig. So that movie's not exactly going to be grim, dark, and serious. Right. Get ready for Gal Gadot in shoulder pads, guys.
I can't wait.
Oh, it's going to be great. Listen, I'm not making fun of it.
I know.
Let's get rid of
Gal.
Let's get ready for Gal Gadot with big hair and shoulder pads. I grew up in the 80s. I'm going to have an emotional attachment to her in some of those clothes. I'm just going to be real. Yeah. She's going to impact me in ways that I don't think we're ready for. I'm super hyped for that. The other thing I'm hyped for, Spider-Man, the Spider-Verse. We watched the trailer as a group. We talked about it.
Yeah.
Spider-Ham is in it. Do you know who Spider-Ham is?
No.
He's a anthropomorphic pig who happens to also be Spider-Man, and he's voiced by John Mulaney.
Okay.
No, really, guys. It's Spider-Ham.
I'm believing you. I'm just.
Also, Nicolas Cage is in it.
Oh.
As Spider-Man Noir. So basically, because it would be really expensive to cast a bunch of big name actors to be like real actors to do a Spider-Verse movie, Sony is making an animated one, and I'm super okay with it. The Spider-Verse comics are absolutely insane. So if they really like lean into the absurd, like they've already proven that they're leaning into absurdity, and like in the comics, there is a spider, the Japanese Spider-Man has a spider tank that transforms into a giant robot.
Okay.
So, guys,
he has a transformer, basically. Yeah.
Yes, okay. More or less. He's basically a Power Ranger.
Okay.
So, like, that's what we have to look forward to Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. And what's cool about this is this was like a San Diego Comic-Con news beat, right? So, like, the only people who really see that are, like, the nerds.
Right.
Right? Like, maybe it'll get out somewhat to mainstream, but like really the headline for mainstream, like my mom, is that Nicolas Cage is in it, right? Because that's like the name that she recognizes, right? She'll see Spider-Ham and be like, oh, I don't know what that is, you know, whatever. But like, if they're going to, like, the surprises that are going to come out of this movie are going to be complete. They seem like they're going to be completely out of this world. And I cannot wait. I cannot wait.
Cool,
Did you guys see the production stills from She-Ra?
No. One of my friends is doing VO work for it, though. I don't think she is She-Ra herself, but she is doing something in there.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
How is it? Wait, hold on. How did you not tell me this already? That's so cool.
It is cool. Like you I said, like, I don't know what she's... I don't think she is She-Ra herself.
Regina, once again.
No. Morla Gorondona was on Gaming with the Moms back in the day. Like, I know. Brought her in. We filmed in the studio. Because,
yeah, you know everybody.
Well, no, our kids were the same age, and Anna totally had a crush on her son, which was so funny. But now they've moved away. They live in L.A. now. But anyhow.
Big shot VO actress. Yeah. big shot. But, I mean, oh, man. I can't wait. I think that show's coming real soon, too.
Yeah,
like in September or something. I can't wait for that. I think it's going to be rad. The number of people complaining on the internet about that cartoon. I'm so over people complaining on the internet about
we talked about this last time. I think you were like, oh yeah, when I was talking about how a friend of mine skips over my posts because I had said that somebody dies in Avengers. And spoilers. And I was like, that's not a spoiler. Like, that's been, you know.
Yeah,
public knowledge for a year.
Did you guys see Ant-Man and Wasp? Did I see it?
Oh. Not yet. Wait. So Steven, here's the thing.
Okay, I saw this before, Steven. This is
thing. Monumental. No. Yeah. It is monumental. But here's the thing, right? My wife still hasn't seen Avengers.
Oh, okay. It
comes out digital on July 31st. So I agreed. Albeit under duress, but at the end of the day, you guys know I follow orders.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Happy wife, happy life. Because it came out while the two kids were away at camp, it was in my best interest to follow orders. To wait. And so we're waiting until she can watch Avengers. The only problem is we were at a friend's house and they made a joke about the snap.
Oh.
And I was like, dude, shut up. And it didn't. And it kind of worked, but
are you spoiled for the ending? Because I have a really funny story.
He's seen Avengers.
Wasp.
No, I am. Oh wait, did you both see it?
I haven't seen it. No.
Okay. So I will see it. I'm gonna see it like the weekend after, like the first weekend in August.
Okay.
So. We can talk on the next episode. You can tell me the story in spoiler section. Okay. I do have one last thing that I want to talk about that was announced that's super important. Dungeons & Dragons Magic the Gathering having a crossover source book.
Right, I read that. I was almost going to add it into the thing. I was like, I don't know how big this is. But.
I think it's huge.
Okay.
Huge. And this is why. They've been putting out free ones for a while, along with each set. They've been putting out like little 20-page free PDFs.
Yeah.
And they've been cool for the few people that use them, right? Like and I doubt very many people have, but they're interesting to read. Like there's a whole subset of people who like don't play Dungeons and Dragons, but they read the books because they find them interesting. Mm-hmm. I being one of those people, that's going to change as my kids get older, but that's another story for another time. But the fact that this is going to be a full print hardcover Dungeons and Dragons source book set on a world created for Magic the Gathering is mind-blowing. It's basically the equivalent of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, like in Dungeons & Dragons form. Mm. I don't think that there's going to be any other crazy crossovers with things that Wizards owns, but the fact that these two are crossing over is pretty rad. The reasons for it are pretty transparent to folks that are paying attention. Wizards just announced that Magic is going to spend the next 3 years releasing sets in Ravnica.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, which is one of their more popular, like, planes, quote unquote. But yeah. So it makes sense, you know, why not go all in? They were already putting the resources into writing them, so why not just put more resources into it and then just print a book? It's brilliant. I can't freaking wait. This thing comes out in November. I am so all over it. I just think it's a super neat idea. And Ravnica is kind of neat. All these guilds and, you know, all these different races. This is a very neat crossover. I don't want to say it's quote unquote the most ambitious crossover in history or whatever, but I think it makes more sense. And what's crazy about it, and Regina, tell me if you agree or not. I'm surprised they didn't do it sooner.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm surprised they didn't do it sooner, but I'm glad because I really think that fifth edition, they have a better model because they just came out and said that Dungeons and Dragons is having its best year ever.
Yeah.
And They're putting out less books.
Isaac is doing a game now with his friends in Chicago. They do all of it.
On Skype and stuff, right?
Yeah, on Skype and stuff, yeah. And he just started that a few weeks ago. They get like every 2 weeks or maybe once a month they get together and do it. But yeah, so he takes over the rec room. He does it like on our big TV, apparently. And he bought like all these dice. Oh my God. He bought like...
You don't know. Yeah. And I mean that. No. I mean that totally in a condescending way, by the way. Not. I just wanted to be clear. That sweetheart
part
was
part of it, though. 100%. Like, no. Though is for Anna because she just likes them because they look pretty.
Did you get the foam ones?
No, we
did
don't.
Did you get the big foam ones? The foam ones are so cool.
Yeah. We got like a bag on Amazon of like. Sets of like, I don't know, it was like 23 sets of them, and they're all like kind of different wacky colors and whatever. And he's like, yeah, Anna wants them. And I'm like, yeah, sure, she does.
So, oh, come on.
Yeah.
If you say that like you've never weaponized Hannah wanting something, don't at me, bro. I mean, you've done it. Trust me. I have a very large collection of video games that my children wanted. So it's, I get it.
Before we move on from this, yeah, from the dice. So Chris plays D&D, and he actually has a different set of dice for the different type of damage that he does in game. Mm. So like fire damage are red and poison green.
This is an acceptable decision. And does he have multiple of each color so he rolls to see which ones are rolling high on a given night?
So
even
in
though
case,
that's not a thing.
It's not. No, I know. Not, actually, I don't know that he does, actually. But I know he has more than one set of each color. But, like, it's just... It is a thing.
I have a friend who is legitimately a mathematician. Like, she is legitimately a mathematician. And she has multiple sets of dice and will roll to see which ones are rolling high on a given day.
Mm-hmm.
I am not joking.
Chris doesn't believe any of that like mojo thing. So like we'll be playing a game and I'm like, oh, the dice are mad. And he's like, that's not a thing. And I'm like, the mojo is a thing. Like, there's dice mojo.
Absolutely a thing. It's absolutely a thing.
Absolutely
even if it's
thing.
Just in our head.
I said it doesn't even matter if it is in your head because then it's in your head. And
right,
then it affects everything. Like that's a thing that happens. People change things.
It's
like,
true. So
energy
I mean,
is important.
Needed to buy dice. So yeah. I support Isaac's dice.
I support Isaac's dice too.
Solidarity. And by the way, if I may, it's not over. He has 21 sets of dice. Oh, he's not even
close. Something like that. I
don't know. He's not even close.
Yeah.
Not even close. Especially since he has an excuse. Because man, they come in cool colors and patterns. He can get pink ones. He can get I have a collector's edition My Little Pony set.
I have Geek Girl Con dice.
Ooh, well, yeah. I mean,
I had to stop using them because they were messing me up when we recorded our Pathfinder series. They were terrible.
They were rolling low.
Yeah, they were just horrible. I'm like, okay, where's my?
You would think that they would be like, because I mean, you would think they would be on your side.
You would think.
They're just trifling.
They were just trifling. Like, nope, you suck.
Yeah.
You're a barbarian with a big axe, but you can't hit anything.
I mean, that's just how it works. So all of these things are true. I predict that he will purchase at least one set of dice a month for the foreseeable future until he, as long as he is playing Dungeons and Dragons. If you think I'm kidding, I'm not. That's my prediction. I might even undershoot this.
Okay.
Amazon makes it so much easier now.
Right. It does. Yes.
I'm sure he's on social media, so he's going to get fed dice ads now. So it's over.
Yes.
So our when we got married, our favor for everybody, we got the Chessex has like the rejects, and you can buy a pound of dice. So we bought 2 pounds of dice, and we gave dice as our favor with a little fortune, gaming fortunes that I made up and put in the bag.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, it's pretty
very, very cool. We named our tables after our favorite video games.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, and Isaac said in his vows, was totally unexpected, that I was better than him at Mario Kart.
Wow. Is it true, though?
Yeah, it is true. He also said that I cooked better than his mom, which was...
Whoa!
He's wow. Like,
hashtag shots fired. I mean, even if it's true, people don't say that.
Why? Yeah. No.
Because it's true. It's true in my house. Yeah. My wife cooks better than my family by a mile.
Yeah.
But still, you don't say stuff like that. No. That's crazy. I know. Was he trying to pick a fight? Was he trying to make them leave? Did he not want them at the reception?
Like, I wanted them to move away.
Oh, honey. Oh, honey. Yeah.
Honey. Honey.
Oh, wow.
So anyway, those are the things that happened to Comic-Con that I'm really excited about. Did you guys see the new Disney board game, Villainous?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Everybody yes. has homework.
Not on your site.
Everybody has homework.
Okay.
I did share it on Engage Family Gaming's Facebook page. All of you need to look at it. We'll reconvene next okay. episode, because I think our next episode will be on or around Gen Con, so we'll probably have to talk about board games.
Yes.
I apologize for the non-board game loving people, but that's me and okay. Regina are going to have to get that.
Yeah.
That's all right.
That'd be a thing.
Board games are games. Board games are games. It's fine.
I'm just saying, Gen Con is like E3.
Right. Yeah. Yes. Yes, I know.
It's going to be bananas.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that wraps it up. Thanks so much for listening. If you have questions, comments, or any other feedback, you can send an email to geekingmoms@gmail.com. That is also our handle on Twitter. And we have a Facebook page. I write for the Geek Embassy every other week about Game of Thrones. You can follow the Geek Embassy on Twitter at the Geek Embassy, and find them online at thegeekembassy.com. My personal handle on Twitter is at Nicole Tanner. Regina, as mentioned, is head geek at the Geek Embassy and also host of Game On Girl podcasts. Regina, what else is going on at the Geek Embassy?
Well, if you didn't see it, writer and critic Tahani did Your Favorite Thing Sucks Comic-Con edition. So you should check that out, mostly because she talks about some of the real issues, actually, in Comic-Con, like don't be a jerk when you're cosplaying and keep yourself healthy so you don't get con cred.
Right.
So make sure to check that out. I think we should start plugging this now since it's not that far away. But Nicole and I are going to be on a panel at Geek Girl Con in October in Seattle. So any of our Seattle or Pacific Northwest fans and listeners who want to come check us out in person, we're actually going to meet for the first time.
In person.
For the first time. Yes.
And we're talking about, wait for it. Game of Thrones.
Yes. I'm on two other panels too. I'm on a writers panel, I think, and look at that. Sorry.
Yeah, that's all right.
Really good. I'm on a writers panel and a podcasting panel as well. Cool. So we'll have more details closer to the day. But
I got asked to be on another panel from their like panel coordinator, and I told her, hey, yeah, that's cool, but I haven't heard anything else, so I'm not going to say that I'm on that panel.
Yeah, and we don't know schedules yet. Like, we don't know when our panels are, so I'm hoping that three panels, because Isabella as well, I think, is on three panels. So we have a lot of people who are going to be repping at Geek Girl Con. So if you have a chance to come to Seattle, come to Geek Girl Con.
Definitely. Absolutely.
It's a highlight. It's a great con. It really is fantastic. So check it out.
All right. Steven is editor and founder of Engage Family Gaming. What's going on over at EFG, Steven?
I mean, all kinds of stuff. You should definitely check out our Beginner's Guide to Fortnite, which we published last week. It was actually a guest post from somebody over at Inked Gaming, but they came on over, and they're the people that make custom playmats, who knew they had a blog. So they wrote a really cool Beginner's Guide to Fortnite, and I think that's super important. Linda, my board game editor, is still working on a series of lists of games to board games specifically being recommended by age. Up this week will be ages 5 through 7. We did preschoolers earlier on this summer.
Yep.
She's going to be churning. So this is our big project while Linda, the school teacher, has lots of free time. So we'll be churning away at that through the month of August. Other things, we finally, on our YouTube channel, have our games of the show from E3. I know we are late. My media guy rescued a kitten. I've told this story a dozen times. There's lots of pictures on his Facebook page. But we finally have our games of the show, so you can watch those videos. I am interviewing Steve Jackson of Munchkin fame on my podcast for our not the next episode, the episode after that, to go along with his Kickstarter campaign. And I'm super excited and terrified because Steve Jackson is kind of board game royalty.
Yep.
So yeah, I'm pretty hype about that. So yeah, that's going to be a very big deal. Don't worry. I'll be talking and promoting that podcast quite a bit.
Right. Okay. Well, I think that wraps it up. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll be back with you in 2 or 3 weeks. I don't remember which one it is now because Regina is traveling, but we will be. Oh, Steven says it's two. Okay. So we'll be back in 2 weeks. Like we normally are. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.